In my personal studies, as I am preparing to do the podcast or the conference, I come across things that they're just stacking up in my mind, I guess you could say. I'm realizing that when the Lord gives me an understanding, if I don't share it, it's hard for me to retain it. And the Lord, I believe, is giving me the information that He is giving me to tell people. So, when are you going to tell people? I think the gift of being able to sit with my Bible on a microphone and share my thoughts is something that I should really be serious about and know that these thoughts are out there. If people want them, they can come and get them. They can come and read and study and grow in like manner. So there's a verse I want to share with you in Jeremiah chapter 2. I want to begin reading at verse 31. O generation, see ye the word of Jehovah. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Why say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto you? Verse 32, can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Well, I have two daughters getting married this year, and I am sitting back watching everything take place of as these weddings are planned and everything being picked out for that special day. And this verse really came home to me. Can a bride forget her attire? And I look at the importance of that wedding dress. I'm watching, let me just put it like this. When I look at everything going on about it, the fittings and yeah, it's got to be perfect. I cannot even imagine that day approaching and my daughters forgetting that wedding attire. I can't imagine they would forget it. I can't even imagine it. Because they would never forget it. What does that have to do with the church? I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to go ahead and include, I'm going to start reading at verse 20 and include some of these verses that build up to what I want you to see. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to Him who is the God and Father. Giving thanks always for all things, giving glory to Christ, giving glory to the Father. Bowing the knee, giving glory to the Father. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, this is what I want you to see. We have been growing in our understanding of the cross. And in this study, we're really going to key on the cross. What does it mean that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? Well, we know he gave his life, and we know that he gave himself to redeem us from all iniquity, Titus 2:14. But look at verse 26. What if I just put the word so in front of the word that? He loved the church and gave himself for it so that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water in the word. Now, there are two things I want you to see. You know how husbands are always wanting to tell their wives or teach their children that, you know, you're the head of the house and you have things to say and they need to listen to you and understand. Well, Christ gave himself so that he could use words. That's the first thing I want you to say. Can you give yourself so that your wife and children might listen to you? What can you do, you know, to give yourself? Say, die to self. Give yourself in such a manner that you would get their attention and they would be willing to listen to you. I mean, I think of people, Christians I've known, and they are so harsh toward the family. And they would use the Bible, you know, well, I'm the head of the house, and I'm this, and I'm the high priest. You've got to submit to me. But Christ gave himself so that you might listen. He died to self and showed humility unto death so that we would listen to him. Now, that's one thing I see in this. The big thing is that he gave himself so that he could use words to cleanse us. Words about what? Words about the cross. See, when he died on that cross, he was portraying God's understanding of us. God's understanding of us, how he sees us, and how we can correct our problems, is found in the knowledge of God called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that element of truth. You could say that Christ, on the cross, he made an outward picture of the Holy Spirit. This is how God sees us. We're hurting. We're naked. We're in darkness. We have guilt. And then Christ portrays the sinner's prayer. Concludes with, into your hands I commend my spirit. That is how you overcome iniquity. You find death to self. So Christ gave himself so that he could use words to sanctify and cleanse his church. Words about the cross. And we see Paul doing that in Romans 6, laying that out, that you unite with Christ in death, and you'll have victory over iniquity. You'll overcome the iniquity. And you unite with him in death, you're baptized, or you're taught into his death. So, Christ gave himself so that could take place, so that words could be spoken to sanctify and cleanse us. Now, you've got to receive those truths about the cross. You've got to receive God's understanding of you. Remember in 1 Corinthians 13, the perfect day, you'll know him even as he knows you. Well, knowing him is knowing you. Knowing God, how do I know God? I want to know God. Okay, well, that's life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God. Well, what is it they need to know? They need to see God's information concerning themselves. That is what knowing God is. You see him, and you know him even as you are known. He wants you to see why you're the way you are. And in this way, when you're aware of the cross and you've got something going on in the family, arguments or anger, whatever it is, you can rend your heart and not your garment. You don't rend the garment. You rend your heart. Somebody can say, well, I heard you scream at your wife. And you can say, well, I won't do that anymore. Yeah, that's not right. Well, you're just rending your garment. You rend your heart. But remember, can a bride forget her attire? You've forgotten me, he says. A bride won't forget her attire, but you've forgotten me. Well, he is your attire. God is. And what you're reading here in Ephesians, he gave himself so that words could be used to give you, to present you without spot or wrinkle. Let me just go ahead and read the next verse. Let me read verse 26 again. That he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water in word, so that he could present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. See, the point I'm trying to make is, you're clothed with the righteousness of God. You're to be clothed with his salvation, the robes of righteousness. It isn't just information that you want. You want to apply the information. If you rend your heart, that's different from changing the way you think. Somebody can teach us doctrinally what happened at the cross and how God sees us, but if you don't apply it, see, it's that application of it that you need to do. Remember in Matthew 22, and if you don't mind, I'm going to start reading Matthew 22:2. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they wouldn't come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, go tell them that are bidden, behold, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, all things are ready, come into the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard of it, he was wroth. He sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers, burned up the city, and he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy. Go into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guest, he saw a man which didn't have on the wedding attire. He didn't have the understanding of the cross. He wasn't carrying the truth of what happened at Calvary, who that is that died and why did he die? And how does this rid me of iniquity? And he said to him, friend, how'd you get in here not wearing a wedding garment? And the guy was speechless. See, if you're going to go to that wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb, if you're going to go to that wedding where New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, she marries her children. And as stated in Isaiah 62, verse 5, as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons, speaking of Jerusalem, marry you. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I've set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit is the understanding of God about the problem of humanity and how to correct it. That information was given to his Son, which we see in Acts 2, speaking of the Son, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He has now shed forth this, which you now see and hear. It was a picture of giving that truth to the church. I have the Father possessing that information. He gives that information to his Son, who gives that information to his church. That is the strong glue that holds us all together with the Father, the Son, and the church. That strong glue is found in the meaning of the word mother in the Hebrew. You have to be bound to God and to the Son and to each other by means of the Holy Spirit, which is the problem of humanity and how to fix it. That Spirit creates our wedding attire. That is God's righteousness. When we see that you're not in harmony with your family, we see you're not wearing the wedding garment. If you are, you're not applying the principles of the Holy Spirit. Remember in Acts 2, and I want you to just consider this closely when I read this, Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent, and without repentance you're taken captive by the adversary at his will. See, without rending your heart. Then Peter said, repent, be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. So, there is a reason why you approach unto God, and you want to find death to self. You want to overcome sin. You want to be set free from sin and iniquity. So, repent and be immersed. Let somebody teach you of Christ and the cross. Be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ so that you can overcome sin. Remission is not forgiveness. Remission of sin is that sin would stop. When you're immersed in that manner, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit being spoken to you. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. It's the Spirit being spoken to you. That's the gift that sets you free. But you have to apply it. So you possess this truth. This is how God sees me. This is how I overcome. And let's say you're struggling with something, but you have on that information. You're carrying that. So you can come to God and ask him, would you free me from this iniquity? And he is not going to say, well, where's your wedding garment? That's basically what is happening in the universal churches. They're approaching God to find forgiveness, but they don't have on the wedding garment. They're not carrying the understanding of the cross. They do not possess the Holy Spirit. To them, the Holy Spirit is a verse. It's the third person of the Trinity. It is not the truth of the cross concerning what is wrong with their own soul. They don't have the knowledge to approach God wearing the wedding garment. Let me show you something. Turn to Revelation 21, because this chapter concerns the new heaven and new earth. And if you'll remember, we're getting ready to read the creation of the new heaven and new earth. And it always helps me to just read it in Isaiah 65, verse 17. I create a new heaven and new earth. Verse 18, be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. Behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. See, Jerusalem is the mother of us all. New Jerusalem is the mother of us all, Galatians 4. New Jerusalem is a similitude of the Holy Spirit. So, Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, as we saw in Isaiah 65. The first heaven and first earth were passed away. There's no more sea. There's no more of the world's thinking. It's been redeemed. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now here's what I want you to see. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They'll be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, just stop a minute and consider what you just read. New Jerusalem is the tabernacle of God. New Jerusalem is the understanding God carries concerning humanity's salvation. The problem and how to fix it. In that understanding is where God is dwelling. This is what he wants you to see. Do you want to meet him face to face right now? You enter into his tabernacle. His tabernacle is that truth concerning us. Now, when we are immersed into the death of Christ, that tabernacle containing God comes to dwell within you. The tabernacle of God is now within you, making you the temple of God. Don't you know you're the temple of God? The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Well, in Revelation 21, speaking of the holy city, verse 22, I saw no temple in it. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. Well, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says the church is the temple too. See, here is the Father and the Son and the church glued together by the truth of humanity and how they're corrected. It comes from the Father to the Son. He gave himself so that he could make you without spot or wrinkle. He'll give you that information, allowing you to approach the Father wearing the wedding garment. In so doing, he can help you be free from all iniquity. Now, I'm going to keep reading here. This is so, so rich in Revelation 21. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty, the Father, and the Lamb are the temple. The city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the character of God lightens it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Again, he doesn't say Jesus is the light, it's the Lamb who's the light. The Lamb is the risen Savior. The Lamb is the priest. Remember, I've got a branch and I've got a priest. The Lamb is the light of it. What's light? God says, I'm light. I am light. If you're not loving your brother, you're not walking in light. You're lying. God is not seen in your life. Walk in love toward your family, toward the church, toward whoever, everybody. Because you are the temple of the tabernacle. The tabernacle of God is now with men. And Christ gave himself to give you that tabernacle. Once you possess it, you can now approach unto God, and he can help you because you're wearing the wedding garment. Can a bride forget her attire? I'm telling you right now, there is no way my daughters are going to forget those wedding dresses. That's impossible. But can you forget your attire as a bride? Being married to Christ, being married to the Spirit of God. I want you to come back in Revelation 21. I want to read this again. Verse 22, I saw no temple in this city. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine, for the character of God gives it light. And the risen Savior is the light of it. Verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Now there's two ways you can look at that. The nations of them that are saved. Speaking of nations of people who are saved, guess what? There aren't going to be any nations of people. But there are people who possess nations. The nations are the enemy, is the iniquity that he's putting under your feet. Psalms 110 verse 1, sit at my right hand till I make all enemies, put all enemies under your feet. Psalm 107, the nations are the enemies. He's going to put and subdue all the people under your feet. We'll read that in a minute if you want to in Psalms. Verse 24, the nations of them which are saved. Are you a saved person? Are you being saved? Well, the nations within you are going to walk in the light of what happened at the cross. And that's how he will put all things under your feet. It's interesting, looking at Psalms 47, he says, let me just start at verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord, for Jehovah Most High, the Father, is terrible. He's fearful. He's a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us, the nations under our feet. Chapter 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Very present, because He is within you. His understanding of what makes you tick, of what makes you who you are, and how to fix it, He possesses that. And He is a very present help, because He's right there. We want to understand the cross, and we want to possess the truth, but suddenly the truth rests with us. Jesus Christ became the very thing that He was born to correct. He was born to bear witness to the truth. The Father possessed the truth of humanity's crown of thorns, stripes, nakedness, and darkness. And the Son of God gave Himself so that He could cleanse and sanctify you using words, so that He could bring the very tabernacle of God to man. Man can enter into it and have the very God of this universe within himself. God's understanding of Himself. Hence you have the Father, the Son, and humanity all united together with the understanding of God about humanity. That includes how to walk in love. He not only is going to tell you to do it, He's going to show you how to do it. And we will all know God, even the least in His kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Even the least in the kingdom. Are you learning to see God even as you see yourself? That's an interesting verse, isn't it? You'll know Him even as you're known. Well, let that sink in, because we desperately need to cleanse our heart. Rend the heart and not the garment. And we need to possess the wedding attire and apply it and come before God wearing that wedding garment and let Him remove iniquity or lift up the iniquity as He can reveal it to us. Being the church of God.